The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. What's going on? What'd you do yesterday? Nothing?
Well, I got to sit in my house that was air-conditioned as opposed to the night before when workers... You know, I went to bed night before last at, I guess it was 1:15 when I officially shut it down, and they were still working on the AC in our house. And then my mother-in-law, who was up because, you know, Bonanza's not going to watch itself.
Right.
She actually said they left at 2:45 in the morning from my house. Installing AC. Started at 7 and left at 2:45 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Once I found out how to work the Nest from the guy, which wasn't hard, I shut it down. I probably could have shut it down earlier, I found out. But so I got to go there. You know, we had water running through the walls and from up in the ceiling and plaster or whatever it is, you know, falling on the ground. It sucks. So I had to get a new AC. That was a fun expense.
Well, that was...
That's always a fun expense when you don't see any difference from previous.
Yeah.
My air conditioning was working. It's like, hey, we got a new dishwasher. Awesome. We got a new, you know,
refrigerator.
Yeah. At least refrigerator looks different. There's some features.
Washing machine. You never
see
that.
Worse. But AC, when your other one was still working, this one really, really hurt. It is not. I haven't put an AC in. Last AC I had in that house was Egan and Henson, who became indoor comfort specialists. Yeah. And they put it in 06. And it's been good. And it's having an evaporator.
Not anymore.
Rusted out.
Guess what?
And I made a decision with this other, you know, I got a hold of them actually, but they couldn't get anything done until, you know, the install wouldn't have been until later. And I was like, yeah, I got to have install today. And so I probably paid install today prices.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Well, you always got to have it installed today in June.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, the heat index, because people like you are always clamoring for 111 degree heat indexes in early June.
It was
that
perfect.
Was a, what a lovely day that was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
What a lovely day.
Played golf in it. It was perfect.
Yeah. It was horrible. Today, this
couldn't
morning,
hit
is actually
an iron
pretty
yesterday.
Nice, actually,
sucked.
This morning for some reason.
John, how relieved do you feel to live in a building where you don't have to deal with that, put that, all that stuff?
It's the best.
Just make a call.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got a light up.
Yeah.
Can you come change it?
Get up here and fix this.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
Anything and everything. Hey, listen, there's some. That's the annoying part. I have
to
actually
make
call.
That call. You can't just text them or something.
Can't just say.
Because
the air conditioning's out.
I was telling John after the show yesterday, I know the pandemic is over because the HOA is out there riding around again. I checked the mail when I got home, and there's a letter going, excuse me. Can you make sure your recycling bin isn't visible until 6 p.m. the night before pickup? I was like, you mother. because I put it, there's a hedge I put it behind so I can just roll it out when it's time. And it was like, it was a bit out from the
so you got people gazing
they gaze like you can, and you can tell because they're not allowed to actually
Rusty's walking around the neighborhood.
I know.
They're not actually allowed to come on your property. They can only knock you for things they see from off your property,
right.
So the shot is from, I can see they took a picture from their car. You can see, I can see the window of their car.
Oh,
they're shooting
a picture
through. Yeah, and they send it, and it's part of the mail thing, and it's like,
yeah, that's just driving around looking for stuff. Our first producer in radio was this. He was older. I'm guessing in his 60s when he...
He had a little...
wasn't a great fit for me and John.
No.
He had a dog named Pumpkin.
Yeah, a dog named Pumpkin.
He was a different dude now. He was not... He was. If we put him in a lineup of a million people, he would be million. Like, of people that you said, who's going to be a producer for John and Lance when they first start? This guy. What? That's who Rusty was. And Rusty once confided in us that Rusty was the guy who would go to West Oaks Mall because he went to Brothers Pizza on Tuesday, and that was his routine. He had several routines, and one was going to the mall and getting Brothers Pizza, a slice of Brothers Pizza on a Tuesday, and which I don't even know if it's there. I don't even know if West Oaks Mall is even there anymore. And that was his Tuesday routine. His other routine, Dell, I think you'll be happy to know, is he also once a week would stroll through his neighborhood and go find violations so he could turn it in to the HOA. He didn't even work for the HOA. He would go and try to snitch out as many things as he could to the homeowners association. So that was something that was
so
pretty
cool.
So
he's confirmed as one of the worst people to ever
exist. He obviously was not a big fan of our show, I can tell you.
No.
When Milo Hamilton would call and tell him, one of those guys said hell, that's not a word you should say on the radio. I think another one may have said, we didn't even say ass, I think. We said, oh, I said something about being pissed off, or somebody was pissed off, which I guess at the time was considered edgy.
Mm-mm.
And Milo called it, tell Rusty. Yeah, Milo, what's going on? They were buddy-buddy, like, tell those guys pissed off is not professional. Stop saying it. And Rusty would just sit in there because we found out from our friend Michael P. Davis, who was an intern at the time and became our producer. He was like, God, you ought to hear Rusty in there just wailing on you guys to Milo. Milo and Rusty. Kind of like what you would do if you had your own Milo.
Yeah.
You'd probably just sit there and dry snitch us.
No, he doesn't care enough.
Unlike that, first of all, unlike Rusty, I would just say it on the air. I get all my
That's true. He never said stuff on either.
If anyone calls in, and if you're part of the HOA, explain why. Why did you take that job? Do you know anyone who's on one of those?
No. That's like the internal affairs of the neighborhood. That's like,
but at least with the internal affairs, you might actually be stopping a bad
yeah,
police officer.
I think
doing
now internal
right.
affairs
HOA
is
doing
up on
right
it.
Now. Well, but forever, internal affairs was
TV shows and movies.
Yeah,
maybe
we should start all the cops hate. The cops will still hate internal affairs, even though we think internal affairs is a necessary department. The cops are still going to be like internal affairs.
Yeah, but what is? Who joins the HOA?
All right, if you're a member of the HOA,
yeah,
713-780-3776. Now I know some of them just kind of appropriate the funds of whatever is collected is going to go to this swimming pool or going to go to this whatever.
So can we disguise their voice though? Because if I'm a member of the HOA, I don't want anybody to know.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to say. You don't have to say your real name. You can talk like this and say, look, so no one will recognize your voice. Okay, because you're a snitch, right? You're basically a neighborhood snitch.
Oh, here comes one. 713-780-3776. We need to hear from HOA.
Yeah. One
of the things that we would do is we would go around the neighborhood and we would pull different types of trash cans and trash bags out intentionally just so we could levy fines.
This isn't an HOA member. It's a victim of the HOA.
Okay. You've been a victim of the HOA.
His name is.
So, now, look, you can't just be having your car parked in your yard. All right. I'm okay with the HOA coming down on some stuff.
Or
cars in yards is not a go.
Or on blocks in your front yard.
Places where that is happening, do they have HOAs?
I don't think so.
If your car's on blocks in the front yard, I don't know if you have an HOA.
Yeah.
I have seen cars in yards like, well, we're just out of parking spots. Like,
places with the cars on the blocks and a Confederate flag in the front yard, do they have HOAs?
They have a posse, I think, but that posse does other things.
I don't think anywhere that has car on blocks has HOA.
I'm pretty sure. So you're not from West Virginia. Who is this?
Homer. Well, that's not a real name.
Oh,
he's
it's Homer.
Got to use a fake name.
Oh, he's got to use a fake name. You have to. What's up, Homer?
Hey guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought I'd share my experiences. I thought I'd be a good citizen, a good part of the neighborhood, and volunteer after somebody was voted out of the HOA, and found out quickly after a few short months that, oh my gosh, the people that really want these positions in the HOA are usually, let's say Gestapo about what they do. Very, very militant about everything having to be done exactly right. Ready to go after anybody and snitch them out to whatever they can do. Going to the ends of the earth of putting notes on people's cars, telling them they shouldn't be parking in this place and they need to read the bylaws. And I was like, I'm out, dude. This is way, way more than I signed up for.
You know who would be good in the HOA? Maddie.
Oh, my God. She is the HOA. No, she isn't, because she would be snitched on. She is a sloppy snitch. So she's like her room, like, why are you leaving stuff all over the place? She couldn't be HOA. She'd want to.
But no, be like, she'd be living in that messy house, but she'd be making sure everybody else was.
Oh, yeah, she would. Yeah. Well, if there's rules to follow.
Yes,
did I tell you that? I told you that. That Maddie said whenever she saw the cars with the swingers, the elbows on the side, she's like, that could really mess up someone's car. They need to stop wearing that. They need to stop putting those on their car. Maddie, or they could hit a car and cause a wreck.
Right.
Like, that's right.
That's right, Maddie. That could happen. But Maddie the snitch could be. I'm pretty sure Maddie the snitch could be HOA. Yeah, it just seems like that's not a group of people I would want to hang out with, HOA people, right? If they're going because you, Dell, your garbage can was sticking out, you know, maybe a foot too far.
Yeah, you took the time to pull out your phone camera, or whatever. Take a park in front of my driveway for a couple seconds. Take the picture and make sure it get printed. Like, before 6 p.m., please make sure your recycling or trash is invisible. You can see it from an inch, and only because you stopped at that particular angle. That's why you can see it.
Biznotch.
And send me a letter for it.
Was that a guy or a woman?
Oh, they don't tell you. They got to be anonymous. They don't want their names out there.
It just doesn't.
You usually drive through your neighborhood on a Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Was it mostly men or women?
It was stacked. It was two women and one guy.
And one guy.
So, oh, it's just three.
Yeah, but you got to be a special type of like just picky and like that's like Raheel said, your life must be really good if you think this is important, right?
I think it's people who lost the election at their junior high and high school president runoff kind of thing, and so they get the first chance after high school to. Oh, my gosh, this is my opportunity to be in charge of something.
I mean, I'm all for trying to keep your neighborhood nice and take care of your swimming pool and hiring the right lifeguards who are going to watch out for your kids and actually care. We had lifeguards 2 years ago that sat, like, they sat and they were just on their phones. They weren't even posted up anywhere. They were just on their phones. Two of them, like, we're paying for this? The kids are in there. And they're like, oh, look at this TikTok. But maybe they didn't even have TikTok videos 2 years ago, I guess. They might have still been watching.
See what HOAs turn into. Just look up April Sound Homeowners Association. You talk about a train wreck, dude.
Up what?
April Sound.
April
Homeowners
Sound?
Association. Right. Yeah, lawsuits for years now and just people getting, it's sideways up there, man.
I appreciate it, Homer. Don't get me in a new rabbit hole. I don't need to be in an HOA rabbit hole because I'll get in that. Although I'd rather it be videos. Makes it easier to watch.
All right. It's 713 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's talk a little Craig DeSurf. He cares about cars.
Craig DeSurf cares about cars, cares about people, cares about the people who work for him. You'd love working for him because Craig is one of the real ones. He is a great guy. And the people who work for him, they just don't leave. They don't have much turnover at all, no matter where he has been. And he's only been at a couple of dealerships, to be honest with you, the entire time I've known him. And he left the Houston dealership once it got sold, once it went from family-owned to a mega company. And they sought him out and tried to bring him to Angleton. And he thought, I don't want to go to Angleton. And when he got there, he said, Lance, in 10 minutes, I knew this is where I wanted to be. He gets to operate like he's always wanted to, which is lower prices. They don't have the same overhead, but the trade-in value is great. And it really has a mom and pop feel for being a car dealership. There's not going to be hassle. There's no hustle. And look, the amount of vehicles on the lot is dwindling across the nation at every location. So what he wants to do is make sure that you get the very best value possible, including very aggressive trade-ins. And many people are looking at pre-owned. And yes, he's got pre-owned as well. And he's looking for pre-owned. So if you think you've got a good pre-owned vehicle with lower mileage that you want to get out of, he'll be more than happy to take a look at buying that as well. Out there in Angleton, it's Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. They also do deliveries right here, touchless into Houston. It's Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I left two Christmas light clips on my roof and got a $50 fine from my HOA.
There's no way.
Two Christmas light clips?
No way that's real. Mine stay up there. Mine aren't coming down.
Well, I looked up the April sound. Yeah, there are lawsuits all over. This woman, her husband was killed by a suicide bomber, and she asked if she could plant flowers in a common area. And they said, yeah. 5 years later, they said, you got to dig those up. You can't have flowers in a common area anymore. What? Okay. And then two crepe myrtles apparently sprung up. She said, I didn't plant them or anything. They charged her $1,200, and she's fighting them in court. And this April sound, this is in Texas, Montgomery, Texas.
What?
Yeah, April sound.
This is here?
Yeah, here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My goodness. You people, you HOA people, you're the worst people on earth.
You know who I'll call in right now? Somebody who's with an HOA.
No one's going to call in.
Why are y'all so scared?
No.
Well, we just kind of popped up because Dell got clipped for having a portion of his recycle bin or whatever show up, or trash bin. So prematurely. So if you want to jump in, we'll get to other stuff as well. But that's kind of one of the things we're talking about. 713-780-3776. If you're a member of the HOA, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
If you've had a run in, feel free throughout the day to jump in.
So in 10 minutes, Kevin Zlotnick is going to join us. He owns the Skeeters. He and his dad are the Skeeters owners. And they're not going to the Atlantic League. They told them yesterday that they're not going to be part of the Atlantic League. What they're going to do is they're going to start a 4-team league here that it's just going to be here.
This
in
is a
Sugar
great
Land.
Opportunity of what's well, going on for
there's
them,
all
right?
kinds of kids that are out there that don't have a place to play.
So I'm saying this is a great opportunity.
Yeah. So, and you know what? There's a talent pool out there. And I talked to Kevin the other day, and he said, you know, it'll probably be, you know, the 30-year-old guy that's like, I'm borderline, and I might get there, I might not get there, that's not really in an organization that's close to getting to the major leagues. It's probably going to eliminate those guys in minor league baseball that you're going to go, you know what, that's it. I think this is a sign. I got to go find something else. But there are a lot of young guys that are pretty damn good baseball players that are out there saying, I don't have a team. I don't have a place to go. What teams are going to do, it looks like what the Astros are going to do, is they're going to have 20 guys down in Corpus Christi that are just going to be working out throughout the year. It looks now like there could be the major league owners have proposed an 89-game schedule.
So they've gone up so that the money can go up.
So, yeah. So we'll see if it doesn't happen. It's got to happen pretty soon, guys. Let's go. But the Astros are going to be down in Corpus Christi, and we'll ask Kevin. I think they've been talking to the Astros. It won't happen this year, but maybe it will happen sometime in the future where Sugar Land is – like Frisco is an affiliate of the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So Sugar Land being an affiliate of the Astros just makes sense. You've got guys that you could just drive up to Minute Maid Park when you need
them. I wonder if this will reset some potential deals also for when everything comes back.
When everything comes back, I wouldn't be surprised at all if all of minor league baseball doesn't change.
I think that there will be, you know, you had multiple A-ball, you had more than one types of A-ball, and you had obviously AA, AAA. But I don't see why you couldn't just have basically a AA and AAA.
Well, I don't see why you couldn't just let independents... have players out there, and you have scouts going looking, finding guys on independent teams.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could.
That saves a hell of a lot of money for these baseball owners.
Well, you have to have a minor league where you're developed with your guys.
Well, yeah.
Unless the teams owned the independent, unless they went in with almost like the idea we've heard talked about in the past with, okay, four NFL teams group up and their players.
Yeah.
Could end up, you know, practice squad players all play for one developmental league football team.
Right.
You could see something potentially I don't think that'll work. I think the teams are still going to want to have, let me ask you this, AAA, AA, and then you cut all those other players out. Well, that's a lot of players who are looking for work.
Yeah, but
then
look,
you get independent.
Well, here's the deal, is you're going to have a draft this week that you're going to add five guys because there's only five rounds. But you know, in normal years, you're going to have 18, 20 rounds of baseball players that are coming in every year.
Right.
Where are you going to put them?
Right.
You most important to your organization is probably, well, AAA, AA, but also your developmental. You're where, you know, the youngest guys get at bats. They go to the East Coast. Where is it? On you know, and
Cape Cod League.
Cape Cod League. They do that.
Cape Cod. And, are you talking about Cape Cod?
They say Cape Cod League. And you know, in Florida with the Astros, their developmental you know process with at their ballpark there. This is it's going to be very interesting, and Kevin will have some insight into how it's all going to change.
Chase, call back in.
We got an HOA president. We got him coming up at 7:30. He's going to be calling us right at 7:30. So, Chase, we'll get you in on after we have Kevin in here. But the plan here is, and Kevin said, there's going to be a bunch of good players out there. I don't know. Here's the problem, though, economically, and we'll ask Kevin about it, but how do you make money off of that? You're going to pay all those players for four teams. They're going to try to get big-name managers. They're looking at big name managers.
It's the problem. It's the same thing with XFL or any developmental football league. You can't or
how are you
going
to monetize it?
It's hard to monetize if you think it's just going to be ticket sales. I know the idea is, well, they'll come watch this. It's just so hard to get to make it monetizable. You probably need a TV deal. You need sponsorships. But it seems extremely viable if we already know MLB teams don't take on all the expenses of minor leagues anyway. Their own minor league systems anyway, right?
Right, no.
I mean,
they take on a lot of it.
The players, So I could see, like, one of the things that they told me with the Skeeters a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, is that Bo Porter helped to, former Astros manager Bo Porter, he was helpful in finding players who were outside of Major League Baseball and bringing those talented ones over to the Skeeters. And the Skeeters had more players who had been on Major League rosters than anybody. I mean, they were packed. Well, a place like Houston and Sugar Land, which is its own kind of area, and a beautiful stadium like that, that would make great sense to have to have four different teams, and you cut out travel, and you have it all right there, like an inter-squad scrimmage. Yep. It would make great sense.
Well, this is going to be like basketball's going to be doing in Orlando. All the guys are right there, and they all share the field. So Kevin's going to join us on the other side, and we'll find out what that's going to be. We're going to be a haven for minor league baseball right here in this area, so that'll be great. In the meantime, let's talk about some testosterone.
Men's T Clinic. They say, come on back in. If you stop getting your treatments, you know that right now you've seen a big difference, a decline. And listen, never is it more obvious than when you get off of the testosterone. Because when you've been on the treatments and you get back to being, you know, the real you, and then during a quarantine, or during the shelter at home, the company is closing their doors for safety purposes. And all of a sudden, you're not getting your treatments, and you start to see, wow, the lean muscle mass has diminished, and I don't have the same libido. And, you know, there could be mental clarity issues, or maybe it's even mood problems and kind of a sour mood, and you become just a real couch potato. That's a real thing that happens when your testosterone drops. Men's T Clinic wants you to come in again and get back on track, or come in for the first time. Get yourself tested, find out where your numbers are in terms of testosterone, and if you're low, they can customize a treatment that's right for you. And that's in Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, Spring, and right there in the Heights. They can get you back to feeling like you did when you're in your 20s and your 30s. It is an incredible feeling to be back to that, and they can get you there. MensTClinic.com. Make your appointment today or even drop in, and they will get you back on track. MensTClinic.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 729. Kevin Zlotnick's going to be calling in just a second. Here he comes. And we're going to talk about minor league baseball, owner of the Skeeters. And we'll see what the Skeeters mean now. Whether or not certainly the Atlantic League, it poses so many problems anyway with how difficult the travel is. with the airlines and the and all of the restrictions in different states that the Atlantic League is in. So Kevin went and talked to them yesterday, and now he can talk about what's going to be going on, hopefully, here in Sugar Land. Kevin Zlotnick joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Kevin, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great. All right, so tell everybody the plan. What do you hope to see going forward in Sugar Land?
Yeah, so, you know, with all the uncertainty with traveling and some of the state restrictions of the other teams in the Atlantic League, we decided to kind of create our own four-team independent league in Sugar Land this summer. We're going to hopefully start Friday, July 3rd, and run a four-team league, and each team will play 28 games between July 3rd and the end of August, hoping to give an opportunity to a lot of guys and an opportunity for our fans and sponsors to get back a little bit of normalcy in their life out at Constellation Field this summer.
So they all gonna, is this going to be a community? They all 28 guys. How many guys per team? You're going to have 22.
Yeah, about 22 guys. So we'll probably have 90 or 95 guys showing up in Sugar Land. There may be some local guys, and like you guys said, there's a lot of talented baseball players in the Houston area and Texas. So they'll all be showing up hopefully the last week of June to get a couple days of work in prior to the season starting. But it sounds like from talking to our manager, our Skeeter's normal manager, Pete Incaviglia, that a lot of these guys are doing a lot of good work right now and just looking for somewhere to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a great talent pool out there right now. Are you going to try to take guys from all major league teams that got fired this summer?
Yeah, so we let Pete Incaviglia kind of let him loose about this time yesterday, said, Pete, it's time to start signing, guys. This is a go. And last update I got from him last night, he's already got 29 or 30 guys committed to playing, and like 12 or 14 of them were guys that have just been released by their major league organization in the wave of cuts that they just did in the last couple of weeks. So I think major league clubs released 900 guys from their mid to lower level minor league affiliates, and those guys are all looking to play. I mean, we've got some high-end first-round picks that got released, and then some similar guys that the Skeeters normally get, 30-year-old type guys that have a pretty nice major league career already underneath them. So we're excited.
I'm really curious about – so this is unprecedented in terms of a release of players into a talent pool that doesn't have a necessary home. And so this is why this makes – unbelievable sense to gather some of those players in one place. Regionally, you've got you eliminate travel costs and things like that. The thing that's difficult for us to figure out here on this end, and John and I talked about this, is how do you pay good managers? How do you pay all these players? Like you certainly have to generate. You're not generating revenue for four different types of teams. How are things going to be different, or do you see them as being different than how you've operated with the Skeeters?
It's certainly going to be a little different. I heard the last segment, and you guys kind of nailed it on the head. We're going to have to employ 95 players instead of 25 or 30. The manager thing is more of a donation of time. I mean, managers are sitting around, and they have a passion for instruction and helping players get back on the path to the major leagues. So, the salary for the manager, I'm less concerned about. But, something you guys didn't hit on, we can only really go to 25% capacity right now. So it's not like we can even have a sellout on a Friday or Saturday night like we're somewhat accustomed to. But we've got a lot of great sponsors, a lot of great season ticket holders, and they're saying, hey, can we do something? Can we do something? And, they like to be part of an organization that helps out in times of need. We did all kinds of great stuff after Hurricane Harvey, and this is not quite the same thing. But, people want to gather in a community place. They feel safe, and that's what we're going to try to offer. And if we can make a little bit of money, that's going to be great. But, I don't know how that'll work out this year, unfortunately. But we're employing a bunch of people and doing the stuff that's important other than making a couple dollars and cents.
Well, I don't think it'll be long, especially here in Texas, that we'll see 50% or even more, especially in an outdoor stadium. So you'll probably get up more. The thing is, okay, so four different teams, how are you going to – and you guys are doing an unbelievable job at Constellation Field. I mean, it is unbelievable how well you manicure that field. How many games are you going to have a day? How's that going to work?
So So, yeah, we had a long discussion about that yesterday and trying to analyze how many hours of play our field normally gets versus what we're about to do. So right now what we're planning on doing is having a single game Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday night, and then 2 7-inning doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday. So that would be like 7 games a week. And there's a couple assorted events that we already had on our calendar, non-baseball related, that we need to work around. So, you know, there may be a Monday or a Wednesday where we have a game as opposed to a Tuesday and a Thursday. But that's the tentative schedule that I have on my computer right now.
So this feels like this isn't just a concept. This feels like this is going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only reason I can't say for certain is we're still working. You know, we have a great health partner in Memorial Hermann, and we're working with their infectious disease group and making sure all of our manuals are proper. I mean, we've got a huge fan manual, how we're going to handle that. We've got a huge player manual. You wouldn't believe the detail that our staff in working with Memorial Hermann is going through to make sure we're making everyone feel safe, whether they're playing or fan. But, you know, other than getting the final go-ahead from Memorial Hermann, and then we'll deliver that to the Texas Health Board, we're good to go.
By the way, Kevin, yeah, I thought that the governor has already said it. 50% is already good outdoor stadiums.
Right. So the only issue is that we don't know how you can go to 50% occupancy and still sort of maintain the 6 feet of social distancing. We're trying to understand if that's, you know, still a thing or how those the 50% and the 6 feet right. would work together.
Well, I think if you come in with someone, you can sit with them. But you're right. Yeah. Otherwise, you got to maintain social distancing. But
we think we could put about 2,000 people in the facility and still keep it at 25% occupancy and 6 feet of social distancing. So not ideal, but like I said, we see a lot of baseball players in need for a job, and we see a lot of people in our community, our sponsors and fans, are saying, "Come on, let's play some baseball." And, you know, we've thought of something very creative, and it's, you know, our staff is a fantastic staff, and they're working 24/7 trying to get this up and running, and we're really excited.
Kevin Zlotnick, owner of the Skeeters, with us here on ESPN 97.5. So what do you think is going to happen with, you know, I mean, minor league baseball this year is not happening for sure. What do you think going forward? Is this going to change minor league baseball forever?
Well, you know, prior to the pandemic, there's a big discussion going on between Major League and Minor League Baseball. They have an agreement that expires every 10 years called the Professional Baseball Agreement. And Major League Baseball, since late fall, has said, "Hey, Minor League Baseball, sorry, we don't need 160 affiliates anymore. We only need 120. You guys kind of touched on this last segment. And it was back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought Major League Baseball would say, you know, there's a pandemic, minor league baseball's in a lot of trouble, let's kind of punt on this issue. And instead they've kind of, turned up the pressure. And I think minor league baseball actually recently came out and said, okay, we'll agree to 120 teams. So, you know, that's why all these guys are getting released. There's going to be no minor league baseball this year, as I understand. I don't know that for a fact. And then next year, there's only going to be 120 affiliates instead of 160. So, why keep these guys on the payroll and keep paying them if they have no place to play next year in their organization, potentially? So it's a big sweeping change that I expect to see over the summer.
Kevin Zlotnick with us here on ESPN 97.5. So it just makes sense to us. Frisco is affiliated with the Rangers. That Sugar Land should be affiliated with the Astros. Is that something that you guys are working towards in the future?
You know, there's been a number of articles sort of by respected baseball writers, the Baseball America people of the world, and they've speculated that makes a lot of sense, and I certainly think makes a lot of sense, but, you know, other than that, I can't comment a whole lot about that.
Okay. Oh, all right. It just makes sense, that's all. So this year, though, the Astros are going to be down – the Astros, what, 20 guys that they're going to keep on hold if they need any players? They'll be down in Corpus?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I've heard a little bit of back and forth on where those guys would go. I know that it sounds like the major league teams are going to go with rosters of 30 instead of 25. And then, you know, you guys know there's a ton of injuries in baseball and just the grind of 160-game season. You need a bunch of guys. And if the minor league affiliates are not going to play this year, they're planning on having kind of a taxi squad of 20. And I think they have the plan is to have them kind of work out separately in case COVID-19 runs rampant through the locker room. And I've heard Corpus Christi makes sense. And I've also heard maybe that they would just send the guys to spring training in Florida where some other teams would be in the area so they could actually play some live games. But I don't know if that's been decided yet.
Hmm. So do you figure that your guys, you'll have, what, 90, whatever, how 90-some guys, do you figure some of your guys are going to get plucked during the season?
You know, normally in a Skeeter season, we'll have a dozen guys plucked to go to AAA, or, you know, our starting shortstop on opening day last year ended up as the starting first baseman for the Seattle Mariners at the end of the year. So, but I don't know what the dynamic of AA and AAA really not playing this year. I certainly think there's an opportunity for a guy to come out, and if he's throwing 95 miles an hour and mowing down guys the first week of the season, maybe they do get picked up and head to the taxi squad for a major league team with the opportunity to get pulled up even in a shortened season. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I certainly think it's possible, but maybe not to the extent that we would normally see in a Skeeter season where we're basically just a breeding ground for guys to kind of get their confidence back and head back in the direction of the major league.
You know, I could see this not only happening here, but other places as well. Do you?
You know, you know, there's a lot of things to deal with when you have 90 players. If we are able to execute on this properly, I certainly think so. I mean, like you guys said, there's a lot of travel involved in our league and in all the other leagues. And if you can house it in the same place and run it properly and treat the players how we normally treat them, the Sugar Land Skeeters, yeah, there could be a future to this.
How does that work for the guys? Are you gonna help them find a place, you know, because they're probably only going to be here a few months? How does that work as far as living for them?
Yeah, so normally if you're a Skeeters player, we offer you a host family. And with you know, the issues surrounding coronavirus, we just said, look, why don't we find them all a hotel? So we've said, hey, we're going to pay you X, and we're also going to offer you a hotel room. So that's how we're going to do that. We have it, you know, we're working with a few local hotels, and, you know, hotel occupancy is super low right now, so we're stimulating the hotel economy in Sugar Land a little bit whenever we pull the trigger on that. But all the guys will be housed in a hotel unless they have their own local arrangement.
That'd be cool. You know, baseball hotel.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be exactly like a bubble like they're talking about with the NBA, but, you know, I don't know how to manage 100 guys and keeping them inside of a hotel, but, you know, we'll have a lot of health protocols to make sure everyone's safe.
And I heard that you're looking at some big names possibly to be managing.
Yeah, so, you know, Roger Clemens is super gung-ho about the idea. He was actually working out with his two boys out at the park about a month ago, and he mentioned something like this, and over the last week or so, unfortunately, Casey was released by the Blue Jays organization, and he's a great player, and we're like, yeah, obviously we want him to play. And Roger said, you know, well, I've got some commitments on my calendar, and I don't know that I can show up 28 nights over, you know, 28 games over 50 nights or something like that, but I'd love to manage while I'm there. And my son Kobe, who was in the Astros organization and also played with the Skeeters, is doing a lot of hitting coach lessons and things like that in the Houston area. Why don't we do sort of a co-manager thing? And obviously we're on board with that.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. And Ink and Petey and Cavilla.
Yep.
Yeah, you got him for sure. And then you're looking for a couple more.
Looking for a couple more. Got a couple options. Not ready to kind of talk about those yet. But yeah, we've got some great assistant coaches that the Skeeters had signed up for the year already. And I'm sure they would be interested in, you know, talking to some of the bigger names around Houston that everyone would be familiar with. I mean, these ex-players and coaches have a real passion for helping guys that are, you know, have lost their way a little bit or gotten released, been sort of thrown out. And they love instructing these guys and help them get their mind right and ultimately seeing their goal of reaching the major leagues.
Well, I want to put our producer Dell's name and throw his name in the hat.
He's
to
in.
Manage okay. A team.
He's in.
Yep. Manager.
He loves the game.
He's in.
But he's wearing his hat backwards, so I don't know. I don't think Pete would be down with that, so I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Pete's a pretty traditional guy.
Yeah, so, no. Pete ain't down with no hat crooked, okay? And Dell does that every once in a while, so I'm not sure that we could do that. Well, man, well, it sounds great. So we're starting up when you figure the startup date is?
Yeah, the plan is Friday, July 3rd at Constellation Field. Really excited, and we'll get tickets on sale shortly. We've got to work through all of our season ticket holders and all the groups that we had on the calendar and make sure they're interested in properly socially distanced and all that good stuff, but we're really excited.
That's great. Kevin Zlotnick right here on ESPN 97.5. Breaking the news, a 14 league coming to Sugar Land, a bunch of minor leaguers. So it'll be a lot of fun, and we are looking forward to it. Kevin, thanks for joining us, and we're looking forward to July 3rd.
Appreciate the time and look forward to seeing and talking to y'all during the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin Zlotnick right here on ESPN 97.5. That'll be fun. That's different. You know, I'm pretty sure we just broke something here last.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I don't think anybody's had this. I haven't seen it anywhere.
It's going to be interesting. I wonder, and I don't know if it matters right now, but they have to, when teams pull a player off your roster, they got to pay you. That's a way to get your money back for your investment. But it's different because you're not going to have minor league baseball going this year. Right. This is going to be a form of baseball. You know what I mean?
Oh.
This is going to replace.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how the financial structure works. I just think it's really cool.
Yeah.
To have four teams play in a location.
Like, listen, you threw 900 names of minor leaguers into the hopper, and you get to pick them.
Can I quit my Korean team, the KT Wiz now? Can I quit them?
I'm going to take Rogers' team in this thing, or Dell's team. Here's another breaking story that Dell is a possible manager in the league. Yeah. No one had that this morning.
I'm not taking Dell's team.
Why not?
Because I just don't feel like your team has much of a chance.
Like there'll be any care.
I'll care. I'm a competitive person. If I was managing a team, I'd want to win. And if things are going poorly, you can guarantee some of the opposing players would get hit by beanballs. I'm not joking. I'm going to inflict damage one way or the other on the scoreboard or on your body.
Hey, they're up 4-1. Hit somebody.
Yeah, hey guys, you're not showing enough fire.
You're gonna throw over the table.
Skip, it's the
all the food skip, off the table.
Skip, it's the second inning. I know what inning it is. I'm aware.
Hit somebody,
that guy.
Hit somebody.
I'm aware of what inning it is.
7:46. ES. You knew baseball had innings.
Yes, and runs and errors and and HBP, which is my favorite stat.
Hit by a pitch. That's right. 7:46. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Axe this guy. First of all, Art.
It's Art.
It's an Art. His name's Kevin. Ask this guy if Rogers only going to field a team of guys whose names begin with K. No, that's what he's named his kids, but that his team isn't going to be that, okay? That's not his team. He can have guys that start with other letters.
It's a legitimate question.
It is.
Showing his fondness for that, knowing his fondness for that letter, you would imagine that K might be something he's looking for.
Yep.
A team with all Ks.
Chris.
But with the K. Everyone gets their name changed.
It's not a lot of names.
Chris.
Kobe.
A lot of Kevins.
Kellen.
A lot of...
Kurt.
How many Kellens do you know who play baseball?
Kirby's.
Kirby. Kirby.
How many Kirby's do you know? I know two. Kirby Smart and Kirby Sherrod.
Kirby Puckett? Never heard of him?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I guess Kerbo Puckett.
Yeah.
Because that name's hot.
Well, you, a young pitcher being coached by Roger Clemens, might be more attractive than minor league. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Hells yeah.
Right now? Well, let me get on some of that $400 minor league money or Roger Clemens knowledge.
Yeah.
Which one would you pick?
Well, and this one would be...
By the way, you don't get the $400 minor league money anymore anyway.
No, but you're going to get money from this.
Yeah. Maybe a pay increase.
Maybe. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, maybe.
Will Roger extol the virtues of... How you can be 35, 37, have your best years of your career?
Yep. Yep.
And explain how that happened?
Yep. You just...
Work hard.
Work hard, baby.
Get in the gym.
Let's go. Yes.
It'll be interesting how much traction this league will get. Like, particularly if they're starting July 3rd in this town and we're still trying to figure out if baseball actually come back. And by the way, the baseball players have proposed a new deal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
I think I saw 89 games.
Yeah, that's the new proposal.
Oh, that's the players.
The players.
Oh, I thought that was the owners.
No, the players have responded with the new deal.
89?
Yes.
It'll end up 80, 81, just like they said.
Just right around 82, like we're initially. Yes. 75, 89.
82. 114, 56.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
Like little kids' games. All right, when does the season start? We finally finish. I guess we start in September now.
Yeah.
When do we end? December.
Yep. Thanks to Kevin Zlotnick. That's going to be interesting to see how this makes it. And there's a new league. This may be how minor league baseball goes. Screw that. We ain't paying the guys. We'll let Kevin pay them, and we'll watch them play, and then we'll pick guys, and they'll come up to our major league teams. That's what the NFL does. They're not paying guys. The G League is the NBA pays G League players, but. You know, there's only so many.
Yeah.
The minor league system is so expensive for Major League Baseball. I'm surprised that's not what they have tried to cut out long ago.
And the NBA is trying to make the G League a true place where you put elite players who are still bound by the whole NBA rule of one year of college or one year out of high school before you join. So, hey, you're a really good player. We'll throw $500K at you, but we'll stick you in the G League. And see how it develops. So, would that be something? If minor league baseball is at its end, like drastic changes, would this 5-round draft or whatever it's going to be? Would the Astros say, let's put our second rounder here, right near us? We can watch him closely. Mm-hmm. We'll pay him, but it's also attractive to this league because you have a legit potential star. Hanging out and trying to figure out his craft before he goes to the majors.
The reason for minor league baseball is that you've always got him in your system, learning your system. And that was awfully important to Jeff. And it became vital to the Astros because Jeff Luhnow was a big analytics guy. And so he changed, actually, you know, having George Springer and Altuve coming up, well, Altuve not so much, but Springer coming up. Springer, they talked about it in Astro Ball. Was swinging from the heels, and they were like, George, cut it down, make some contact. We need you, hitting more balls as opposed swings and misses and balls in play. Swings and misses for hitters and swings and misses for pitchers were the most important things. And so that was what they worked on at every level in the minor leagues. And you wouldn't be able to do that what you're talking about because he's not. You're not instructing him. You don't have your instructors and your system in place. Now, baseball, less than anything, I think, has system.
Astros do. Mm-hmm. Astros. I mean, they did. Yeah. I would assume they still do.
We'll see. I don't know what clicks. I don't know what his philosophy is.
Yeah. Well, he's been on the squad. I mean, that's his kind of baseball too. I don't see Jim. I think it does start with Jim Crane, actually. Jim Crane is a smart guy. He is a former baseball player. I think Jim Crane understands that a strong analytics department and an analytics-driven approach is what has been a winner for him in the past and will continue to be. And so I don't see him getting away from that. So there are organizations that they want pitching coaches to do it a certain way. They want to monitor certain things through their, through technology with spin rates and other things like that. Hitting approaches, but generally a hitting approach can be fairly standard. I mean, the pitching may be a little bit different because of the use of technology, but it will be interesting. But that's also why a team in Sugarland or multiple teams in Sugarland, all of a sudden you got the Astros able to take a look at them and say, hey, we'd like for you to do this. Hey, we'd like for you to do that. While we're sitting here and we only have a 20-man unit to help out. From a developmental standpoint, we wouldn't mind coming and watching some of your games. I mean, these are players mm-hmm. that all of a sudden they could say, hey, you know what? One of the things we might introduce or we might suggest is introducing this because it'd be right here in your hometown. From a regional, from a financial standpoint, you're eliminating costs. Am I wrong or shouldn't everybody be talking about how to streamline some things and be more lean? During times like this where we're going to be and we're in the midst of a recession.
Well, like he said, Kevin said, the minor league agreement was coming up anyway and they were streamlining it. They were going from 160 to 120 teams anyway.
They're cutting
and
the fat.
So, yeah. I mean, they were cutting fat. It is. It's amazing. I always thought, wow, what an expense for these major league teams on top of everything else. So they must be making a ton of money.
Multiple teams with players who have no chance of reaching the minor leagues.
Yes.
They're just there to fill out rosters so that you can play games while your player reaches another level. I get it. You're the filler. They have how many players? 20 players or fillers? They're 18 on a roster. And the rest of them, they're just there to facilitate a game so your guy can get better and move up to the next level. That's it.
In any season, how many of those guys? In any season, how many teams, how many minor league teams in any season don't have one guy that will make the majors?
Cut out fillers, and all of a sudden, you've got guys playing together. Yes, one group will be more talented than the other group. Yeah, you're going to have some players who are more talented than other players on the roster. It may be a little bit more difficult, but maybe that's when you have a pool of players. Instead of having the A-ball, have a pool of players to choose from. You know, I mean, Scott Boras isn't going to like it. I mean, you need to get Scott Boras' permission to see if you can do certain things because Scott Boras runs baseball. But if Scott Boras says, if you say, hey, Scott, is it okay? Are you playing these players $1 million apiece? Like, no, they're not. Well, they hit like 217. Like, I guess you're basically telling everyone to go play another sport then. So, no.
No.
Like, what? You're supposed to just give a player $1 million if he can't hit?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Guaranteed 20 years.
Yes.
20-year, $20 million deal. For an A-ball? Yeah. Or unless you want to just send people out of sports, I guess.
Jonathan Singleton.
I know this much. Can you? You don't need an A-ball. You can have A-ball. You can have a group of players in regional locations, cut down on costs and expenses, and then you can pull from that pool into AA. Once teams get the AA affiliation and a AAA affiliation locked down again. Because it will be back.
Yep.
I mean, it will be back. Coronavirus is over.
It's over.
Yeah.
I think it's over. 758 ESPN 97.5.
I just have noticed that it's over.
No, yeah. Right.
NASCAR looks to have fans NASCAR. In the stands this week. Well,
NASCAR is going
to have. Well, I'm telling you, after.
Well, in certain states, like Governor said, 50% you can have. If they're here in Texas, they can have 50%.
CDC's already saying people are like now, after the last month of openings, protests, restaurant openings, massive. There's a lot of people just saying, I ain't having it.
Whatevs.
It's time. I'll take my. People who are very careful, like, I'm taking my shot.
Yep. I want to talk right now about you taking your shot at saving some money every single month. I got my bill from Champion, and it was, I'm like, whatevs. It's summer, and I am paying less. And I'm thrilled with my bill. I'm thrilled. And you never say that about a bill, right? Oh, bill. Here's a bill. Well, I'm thrilled with mine because I know 12 years ago, whatever it was, when it did, at this time in June, what bill would have been, I was like, wow, are you kidding me? Well, now I'm like, whatevs. I'll pay it. Here's the money. Puh, I spit on that bill. I disrespect it. That's right. I spit on it. So if you're looking to disrespect your bill, champion.energy/1560. Save money, people. champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.